This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 4, Episode 1. You're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can call us on
02088 167 691,
and you can email us on
coach@pitchvision.com.
My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I'm joined by Mark Garraway and Berners. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to the latest series of the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Has everyone got through Christmas and New Year well, Gareth Berners?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I'm still here, which is good news. I ate my body weight in everything, but apart from that, I'm all right.
Yeah. Berners, how was your Christmas?
Absolutely terrific.
Yeah.
I got a set of dice in my Christmas cracker, and I rolled a double six.
Well, that shows something. I don't know what it is.
I think that's a lucky charm for the year going forward.
Yeah, yep. There's no doubt it can be anything else.
However, moments later, I nearly sliced my finger off on the cheese board.
See, the perils of going home for Christmas.
It's up and down, it's up and down.
Now, do you believe in resolutions, Gareth?
Not really, personally. I know that some people can do it. I'm not sure that my willpower is sufficient. So resolutions, no. What I tend to do is I tend to put some targets for various parts of the year as opposed to resolutions. I think if I put a target in there, then I'll work towards it. Whereas just saying I'm not going to eat chocolate doesn't work for me, to be honest. Well, it lasts about 25 minutes after I wake up on January the 1st. So yeah, I'm not really into resolutions, but I have put in a number of 10K runs over the year that I've entered. So that's my motivation rather than a New Year's resolution as such.
Yeah, I always thought it was a bit weird that sort of a point in the calendar is a way to get started on something or end something that you don't want to do anymore. It's a bit arbitrary, isn't it? It's a lot better to set yourself something like you say, you know, have an actual thing that you've got to turn up to.
No, definitely. And yeah, psychology would suggest that that's the way to go. I think it's a nice thing for us all to talk about at the beginning of the year. And I think from our own experiences, there's very few friends that would stick to those unless it's backed up by having a slightly better goal setting type approach behind it. But yeah, it's something to talk about at the beginning of the year. And I'm sure that some people that listen to our show will have a bit more willpower than myself.
Berners, do you have any resolutions?
No, absolutely not.
You steer away from trying to make changes.
Yeah, I think if you have to make a resolution to do something, you just don't want it enough. You know, you've got to be wholehearted in life. And
yeah,
Berners is that kind of wholehearted person.
Well, yeah, it is. If you care about doing something, why do you have to wait to January the 1st to do it? Why couldn't you do it on December the 23rd or July the 4th? Whatever date that you pick. But yeah, I think, but people do see a new year as a fresh start as well, and I think there are ways that you can use that start of a year to make a change. But as long as you don't beat yourself up over, you know, you're not going to change 25 different things about yourself and suddenly become the perfect person overnight because the calendar's changed. But you can sort of resolve to make some kind of a small change, and it's those small things that stick. And then if you can do a number of those small things over the course of a year, then you're going to be ahead come the next new year. That's the way I look at it anyway.
I did pop into my local gym the other day where I play squash, and I saw a couple of new faces, as you do on the 3rd, 4th of January. One of the new customers happened to have a Starbucks coffee on the treadmill, which I thought was quite amusing. I was going to say, have you got a latte in there? Is it an eggnog?
An eggnog latte, yeah. Extra sugar, please.
Yeah. Not only does caffeine dehydrate you, I couldn't think of anything worse to have whilst you're on a treadmill or doing a workout.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on what was in the cup, but yeah, it's not necessarily the best thing, especially one of those ones with the cream on top and all the rest of it. Do you is there anything small at all that you're looking to achieve, Berners, or not even thinking about resolutions, but just things that you're looking forward towards in the coming months?
Someone sent an email on Saturday about pre-season nets this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
I got about 3 sentences into the email and deleted that one.
You're not enthused for the start of the new season.
I'll tell you what, some of these sports centres at this time of the year are absolutely debaucherous places. You just don't want to be there. 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, can't feel your hands, concrete floor, lights barely warm up until you're about to leave 10 minutes into the session, and then next thing you know, they charge you about 10 quid. I only face 3 balls, Gov.
Oh, well, that sounds like it's not a very well-run net to me. What do you reckon, Gareth?
Yeah, I'd be along those lines, mate.
But it does happen a lot, especially with senior teams, doesn't it? You do get that, you do see that people get into a rhythm of the way that something is done, and no one is really leading it as such. It's just everybody turns up and someone goes, right, who's padding up? And away we go. It's it doesn't take a lot of planning or thinking to go, okay, well, what are we going to achieve from this session? And that even something as simple as that makes all the difference, even if it's not perfect. And I suppose that goes back to resolutions, doesn't it?
I believe so, mate. That's definitely my run on things.
Okay, well, let's wrap up this section with the Yes Now round. As per last year, we have 3 questions, which Berners has got there, and Gareth and I get to answer them, but only with a yes or a no question. So we will see if the new year has made any changes to any of our opinions. Berners, you've got the questions there?
I do indeed. First question. The role of first-class cricket is just to produce test players.
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Second question. A first-class knockout competition like the Ranji Trophy is the best structure.
Yes.
No.
Third question. Limited over skills are more important than test skills these days.
Yes.
No.
Oh, controversy in the yes-no round.
I don't think that's happened for a while. Three different answers. That's interesting, that.
Oh, yeah.
Black and white.
Maybe that's one of my New Year's resolutions, David.
But just to say the opposite.
Yeah, just to go the opposite of you. It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, it's time for the questions round, and we have a couple of questions that have been emailed in over the festive period. In fact, we had quite a lot come in over the festive period, so if you sent one in over that time and you haven't had an answer to it on the show, then feel free to send it in again. It may well have been missed in the pile. And if you go back to the top, if you email it again. And of course, why would you email it in, or why would you phone it in? Because you win a prize if you're the best question of the week, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. So, Berners, we've got 2 people vying for the prize this week. What's the first question?
Our first question comes in from Baron, and he's just saying that he's aware of the benefits obtained during training using free weights. But he's also noticed in recent times that resistance bands have come into play. And he's saying that he sees a lot of the teams warming up with these and just wants to know if there's some specific exercises we could suggest.
I think, like with anything, resistance bands are a tool with a use and with limitations. But that's the same on any kind of training tool, whether it's just using your body weight or whether it's using weights in the gym, whether it's using a kettlebell, anything has a different use, and they have some advantages and some disadvantages. As he said, you see them around a lot in professional sport because they're very easy to transport around. You know, you can throw some resistance bands into a bag. They're not heavy, but they provide external resistance, a good external resistance for, well, pretty much any body part, but especially the areas around the shoulders, where they're used a lot for rotator cuff work, development, warming up, all that kind of thing. But there are limitations, because you can only overload by as much resistance as the band gives you. So you're going to find a limitation to whatever that is. Gareth, do you use resistance bands in your warm-ups?
Yeah, we do. I mean, when we use them for some of the strength development work, but mostly in that warm-up period, you're actually looking to activate the muscles rather than sort of stress them so much that you're working them out as such. So when the international teams are using those bands, and a lot of them put them around their feet or put them around their knees and do adductions and different movements like that, or put them around their feet and activate their glutes by doing sideways walks and sideways lunges and things like that, it's merely an activation exercise rather than actually trying to put some strength into the system. Then when you take it into a gym in between matches, then it becomes more of a strength thing, and that's where your extensive work on particularly glutes and adductors comes into play. But activation is what you're seeing when you watch international teams doing their stuff. And it's part of their prehab program, which a prehab program is put together where they look at the strengths and weaknesses of each person that comes out of some physiotherapy testing in different positions. And it's all about trying to get those stabilizing muscles, those smaller muscle groups, not our bigger ones generally, to activate in a more functional style. And then for those stabilizing muscles to support the bigger groups like the glutes, like the hamstrings, like the quads, in a more effective way. And that is particularly relevant when, as you say, talking about rotator cuffs. And we're looking for a rotator cuff to really help our throw by keeping everything nice and contracted and into the shoulder to prevent injuries such as displacement of shoulders and stretch it, overstretching and what have you when we get into our throwing program. So activation is what you see, but they're very useful not just in activation work, but also in strength development work.
Absolutely. Just to give an example of a couple of exercises in that area, in that strength development area, if you're not very good at doing chin-ups, and a lot of people aren't, then you can use a resistance band to sort of give you a little help up. If you tie the resistance band around the bar and then put the other end, put your knee through the other end, then that band is providing, is taking some of the weight, your body weight away. And it might give you enough to be able to do a couple of pull-ups, which will then allow you to get stronger and then be able to do the pull-ups without the resistance band. Another good exercise using the band is the press-up. You can use a press-up to add external resistance without having to put on a weight vest or a weight plate on your back, or have someone sit on your back, something hardcore like that. You can put a resistance band around your shoulders and add resistance to a press-up. If you're quite good at press-ups, and you want to add some resistance to make them harder, it's a good way to do it. Now, Gareth, do you do much prehab type stuff with the players that you work with now? Because obviously we're not talking about international level anymore, and a lot of the prehab stuff is very specific to the requirements of the individual player.
Yeah, we do actually. And I mean, we're lucky here at school in that we've got support services here that a few first class counties or first class teams would love to have. So we do very, very similar things because we've got the staff available to us. So they have a physiotherapy screening session at the beginning of the year, and in fact they have three of those a year within our program to maintain and to monitor development in certain areas. And for example, a session that I had with one of our fast bowlers this morning, the first 5 minutes of that session are doing supersets of two specific fast bowling prehab exercises related to his physicality from a developmental perspective. So we do that for 5 minutes before we go into 40 minutes of technical intervention. And really, the whole idea of the prehab stuff is to support the technical interventions that you're doing, because without stability, you're not going to be able to transfer all of that power that you've got in the right direction. And in particular with bowling, it's massively important that we can stabilize enough that we can transfer that power. So, for example, Ben, who I worked with this morning, his prehab program was very lunge-based. We've talked about a lot on this show. Very lunge based with sticks above the head, very medicine ball based, and very TheraBand based. And we went through a number of supersets with him. It only takes 5 minutes, but over the course of doing that three times a week for 3 months or so, you see a huge development in the bowler's ability to be stable in certain positions in their technique. And as a result, their performance goes through the roof. So yes, we do that here, but we're very, very lucky. We've got fantastic support staff. Some of the guys have come out of the Olympics, others have come out of international support. So we've got a lot of people here that can put good programs around these kids. But, you know, going back to the people that are going to be listening to these shows, you know, basic core exercises, basic stretches, having TheraBands and activating some glute muscles by putting a TheraBand around people's ankles and start to get them to move laterally are all really good prehab things that are only going to stand a cricketer in good stead and will help your coaching to get better technical improvement. There's no doubt about that. 5 minutes before the start of any session, it's all it takes. You get people doing that, you know, once or twice a week over the course of a year, and you will note that they will get injured a lot less, that their ability to come back for second spells or play back-to-back days will improve. And that's exactly what we saw when we started doing this with England cricket team about 6 years ago.
Yeah, the way I had it explained to me years ago was it was like a pyramid. The base of the pyramid is the mobility and the stability, which is what we're talking about with these particular bands, and the ability to stabilize in a number of different positions, which obviously, when we're talking about bowling or batting, you know, you get into some a wide range of different positions. So the ability to stabilize your body in all of those positions is absolutely crucial before you can start accessing the power, which is the next level, which is what you said there, Gareth. And then above that, you have the skill. And that's the way this pyramid works. But what you don't want to do is focus too much on any one of those three aspects, because each one builds on the next. So while it's important to be able to mobilize and stabilize your body in a range of different positions, you also don't want to forget about the power as well. And there is where a tool like the resistance band, or the TheraBand as you call it, which is just a brand name, isn't it, of a type of resistance band, that is where it's less useful, and you need to use other methods in that second step once you've got the mobility and the stability sorted out with tools like the resistance band. So I guess the warning I'm trying to make there is that don't pick any one tool and say, well, that's all I'm ever going to need, you know. But just the same, I'm a massive fan of dumbbells and barbells and kettlebells and all those things, but I would never say there is one thing that is going to do everything for you. You need to be able to look at the whole range of tools and use as many as you can get your hands on. A resistance band is a great place to start, but don't end there either.
The next question is in from Dell, and sounds like he's on a bit of a time constraint, this chap. He's saying, what's a good time to train for a cricketer at the age of 13? His local club have sessions from 8 till 9:30 on a Sunday night. He thinks this is quite late, given that his child's got to go to school the next day, and also a bit worried that it could cause a few problems regarding injuries. So wants the panel to review that. Gara's working at a school, I would say, is very well placed.
Yeah, we've actually steered away from doing stuff late at night, but as much as anything, that's to do with our school timetable. And obviously the kids have prep in the evenings, which is homework, you know, that they can get done for the next day, or for a project they've got going on, or a bit of coursework they've got going on. So actually we go more towards the early practices, actually. We had a practice from 7 o'clock till 8 this morning, which was a fitness testing module that we've put in. So our day generally now goes from 7 o'clock in the morning through till 4 o'clock. And that's the timing where we get our interventions, our technical sessions, our one-to-ones in, because we find that the kids tend to fatigue quite heavily as they get towards the end of the day, which is nothing different than we as adults get. But in terms of particularly in concentration, I would suggest, often wanes towards that time of the day. You know, we're looking at 8, 9 o'clock here, according to this example. And my experience of coaching kids is that their concentration goes, which means that you haven't got that window of opportunity to do some really good technical work that's going to stick with them. And, you know, with concentration going, that the instance of injury or not doing things 100% right, which opens up the instance of injury, does increase. So, yeah, I would challenge the practicing of that late. Obviously, sometimes you can't do anything about it with busy people and volunteer coaches that are busy at work through till 5-6 o'clock at night, that you have to train at that time. But my experience would be, if you've got the option of either before work or school, or after work or school for kids, then the before school bit works better, because they're just more awake and their concentration levels are more optimal.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And my experience is exactly the same. The later it gets, the more difficult it is to get in some good work. I mean, there's still things you can do, but you have to focus a bit more on the fun side of it to keep kids engaged the later it gets. But it's a bit of a difficult position. If that's when the training session is, do you say to yourself, okay, well, I'd rather he trained, even if it wasn't an ideal situation, than not train at all. If that is the option, then, you know, probably reluctantly, you would say, okay, well, let's give it a try, see how it goes. And if you find that he's not getting any benefit out of it because it is too late for him, then, you know, perhaps you rethink, perhaps you try and find another way of doing it. But if that's when the session is, you're kind of a bit stuck into that, and the only thing you really can do is give it a try. Bernice, do you remember when you were a slip of a lad? Were you chomping at the bit to play at every opportunity, even if it was in the middle of the night?
Out till all hours, mate. Out till all hours. Had to drag me home.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember spending a lot of time after cricket matches when I was younger, playing cricket until it was literally you literally couldn't see the ball anymore, and that was time to stop. And that was in the height of summer when it got. But that was, you know, that's having fun with your mates. So I think formalised coaching is a slightly different proposition. What would you do, Gareth, if you were in that situation? If it was your someone in your care, and you knew the training was, that was the only opportunity they had for training, what would you do? Would you try it first, or would you say, well, probably the risk is greater than the benefit here?
Well, I think you just taper your program accordingly, don't you? And you probably keep the intensity of it fairly low, but make sure that you do say 15 minutes of quality, have a break. Just try and notice what people are doing and whether people's concentration is there. And I think that's a good adage for all coaches, really, is that just because you've got 2 hours with somebody, you want to make as many minutes of those, impactful. And sometimes we'll coach for 2 hours, but actually only have 15 minutes where people were on the money. So, again, we do stuff at school, and around exam time, I see the kids' concentration going. And I'll stop the session and I'll say, right, let's go outside, let's have a 5 minute break, let's have a chat about something completely different, let's go and get a coffee or get a drink and then come back into the hall. And often those little breaks mean that they come back in with their head screwed on and a focus of cricket rather than worrying about everything else. So have a few breaks in a late night session if that helps, but keep your eye on your performers, keep your eye on your athletes that are around you. And then just act accordingly, really, rather than sticking to that plan that says that you do your poor defensive for 40 minutes and then you do your fast bowling for 30 minutes. Often, at that time of night, your plan isn't going to happen as perfectly as it would do if you were practising at 9 o'clock in the morning. So just be aware of that, keep an eye on your athletes and adapt accordingly.
Now, Bernice has been waiting for 2 weeks to have a rant. And so he's got at his fingertips quite the rant to make up for. So you've got 1 minute, Berners. No one can interrupt you. It's over to you.
It's my moment. Well, this week it's all about on-field behaviour. It was amplified somewhat between the two big rivals, Shane Warne and Marlon Samuels, both playing for their respective Melbourne sides at the MCG the other day. And I find it quite amusing how the governing bodies or the various cricketing associations really hammer down on players when they get caught up in a bit of conflict on the pitch. And I think it's just getting ridiculous now, because, I mean, I think for anyone that was inside the MCG, the baying fans watching on the televisions and the large screens all around Australia would have absolutely loved every single minute of it. It was all pretty good-natured stuff. Okay, Marlon kind of threw his bat at Shane, and Shane kind of threw the ball at Marlon. And there were a few X-rated words exchanged, but at the end of the day, it adds to the whole compelling nature of the game. And I just can't understand how banning them and all this kind of stuff really helps the matter. It's not as if they're all fighting every single game. And it was legitimate reasoning behind, I think, the actions. It wasn't like Shane Warne just thought, well, let's behave like a bugger. You know, it was due to a number of things. And I think they should let them have a bit of a dust up. Should be glorified on television and in the live arena, and we should all think that was jolly good. Let's get on and play cricket. So that's this week. Get out there, have a bit of banter, don't get banned for it, don't miss games, get stuck in. I actually read quite a funny quote where someone said that the Big Bash was delightfully named Big Bash, however it's a slogan and not a playing condition, and I thought that just about kind of summed it up. But just go lightly.
Okay, so that is the end of this first episode of the new series of the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Before we go, we just got to decide on a couple of things. A winner for this week's competition. So we had Varun's question about resistance bands and Dell's questions about training late for a young lad. Gareth, which one did you prefer?
Well, I've sort of taken it to what our listeners are going to be, you know, what type of environments our listeners are coaching in or playing in. And so I've gone with the late night session, because as Neil talked about right at the beginning of the show, in England, people will start to do these late night sessions, won't they? The clubs will start to get any hall time that they can get to get some nets in play. And so I'm going to go with Dell's question this week, because I think it's really relevant, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere at this time of year.
Yeah, it's always a challenge, isn't it? It's always a challenge to keep people interested and when conditions aren't perfect, which is often the case at whatever level that you play. So well done, Dell. You win a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can head over to pitchvision.com/academy to choose your course and get enrolling on the one that you like best. Now, Berners, if somebody wanted to send in their question to the show and have their chance of winning the prize and, of course, have their question answered, what would they have to do?
They can give us a call, the number 020-88-167-691, or they can drop us a mail and the address is coach@pitchvision.com.
They can. The Twitter is still open at PV Cricket Coach. And if you want to subscribe to the show, you can listen to us through iTunes. Click on the subscribe button and you can get the show every week without having to check back. You can install it onto your iPad that you got for Christmas, or your iPhone, or whatever other device that you've got. If you don't want to use the iTunes, then head over to pitchvision.com/academy. Click on the podcast link and all the instructions for how to subscribe are on that page there. And one more thing, we have this week's tail ender for those who listen right to the end of the show. It's not one that I've heard before, but I was told it over Christmas period. Hopefully it's not a rude one, like I almost said the other week. But painted on. We heard that before?
Go on.
As in, his eyes must be painted on, referring to an umpire who's given what's perceived as being a bad decision.
Right. I have to say, I've not heard that one.
Painted on.
I've seen some bad decisions, but I've not heard that one.
Yeah, I've heard a lot worse things in my time.
But, yeah, me too. Yeah. And certainly not about just his eyes.
I enjoy the, as a wicketkeeper, I enjoy the head shake followed by the mutter to first slip, which is a bit passive aggressive, isn't it? But it sends a message without actually having to say anything.
I thought you were going to say I like the head shake by the umpire and then the slow trigger.
or moving his finger up and then scratching his nose.
Yeah,
not out. Anyway, that's it for this week. So we're back with series 4, and hopefully you'll come along for the ride. Don't forget to subscribe. So until next time, we'll see you next week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Berners.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, guys.